You're listening to the AHTB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Monthly highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to the first AHTB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast episode of 2019. I'm Eleanor Holdsworth, and this episode we're looking at some recent developments from our research project, as well as hearing from one of our monitor farms. First up, let's hear from Jason Pohl on a review of the recommended lists.
A flexible variety trialling system that looks beyond headline yields is required by growers and users of cereals and oilseeds in the UK, according to the results from AHTB's Look Ahead activity. Look Ahead examines how the recommended lists is used and how the variety trialling project can be improved. More than 600 survey responses, as well as feedback from stakeholders gathered at numerous events throughout 2018, are being used to shape the variety trial system beyond 2021, after the current five-year round of investment ends. Key findings from feedback were announced at the AHTB Agronomist Conference in December. One thing was particularly clear from the survey results. The industry is passionate about our world-class independent variety trialling system, and people want to see it go from strength to strength. As anticipated, mainly growers and agronomists responded to the survey. According to the results, the RL booklet is widely used. For example, 87% of grower respondents declared that they use it. 90% of growers and agronomists also rated the RL as an important source of information. Although treated yields and gross output were considered to be very important by growers and agronomists, many other features were considered slightly more important, with disease resistance topping the list. The results are not unsurprising. As chemistry is lost and efficacy is eroded by resistance, a greater value is placed on varietal resistance to disease. In fact, the whole variety package, including regional performance and potential market premiums, is being looked at more closely these days. The Look Ahead activity has generated a wide range of points to be considered by AHTB. Now, four working groups have been set up to look at the specifics and provide advice on the direction of the RL. These groups will look at the resowing and recommendation process, the number and location of trials, new traits and breeding advances, and communications and knowledge exchange. Each working group will develop a costed action plan for consideration by the RL board in summer 2019. But people needn't wait for improvements in disease resistance, however. Launched in December, the online edition of the RL for 2019-20 features winter wheat, winter barley and winter oilseed rape varieties with exceptional disease resistance packages. Several new entrants have impressive disease resistance scores, including one winter wheat variety with the highest disease resistance rating for Septoria triticae. With oilseed rape untreated gross output figures included for the first time, the latest RL provides farmers with an essential foundation for disease management. For further information on the RL, head to ahdb.org.uk/RL.
Next, we're in monitor farm meeting season at the moment, with dozens of groups holding sessions around the country. I visited Sittingbourne in Kent just before Christmas, where they were looking at what conventional farmers could learn from organic. Here's the monitor farm host, Mark Boucher-Gibbs, followed by organic farmer John Pawsey.
Fascinating about the organic, at the end of the day, it's market-led. Security of market. The organic principles naturally encompass a lot of what we're trying to do through integrated farm management anyway. There is certainly a lot of logic in looking at it.
I think it's disappointing that more conventional farmers aren't thinking of converting to organic, because I think there's a clear financial case that if you're looking at diversification, it is something that you should be looking at. So I would encourage people, you don't have to convert your whole farm, you can convert part of it. And so I think, you know, just give it a go and use it as a diversification exercise. Yeah, what's amazing, you know, being an organic farmer, talking to the kind of farmers that were in the room today, was actually we're starting to share the same language. We're talking about the same thing.
The group also heard from Dr. Anne Bogle on the interim findings of a cover crop research project.
One of the things we found recently, actually, that cereal cover crops are not necessarily good ahead of a cereal crop, particularly spring barley. Something like rye and oats can have allelopathic effects and reduce yields, whereas vetches, clovers do fix nitrogen, build nitrogen back into the system.
Finally, since AHTB took over RB209, we've been committed to ongoing research in nutrient management. Here's Jason Pohl again to explain some recent findings.
The AHTB Nutrient Management Guide, more commonly called RB209, has become an indispensable part of planning the application of fertiliser, manure and slurry. In 2017, the guidance was overhauled by HDB after it took on responsibility for it from DEFRA in 2015. In addition to publishing the guidance, HDB also committed to coordinate investment in nutrient research to make sure RB29 always reflects modern commercial practice. In fact, a dozen arable research projects have been funded since 2017, and the latest results were presented at the HDB Agronomist Conference in December. It included in-depth information on sulphur recommendations for Aussie rape. Recommendations for sulphur were first published in RB29 back in 1994, and since then, deposition of the nutrient from the atmosphere has decreased dramatically, and the yield potential of modern varieties has increased. The assumption has been that Aussie rape needs much more applied sulphur than the official recommendations suggest, so AHCB funded ADAS to test this hypothesis. Experiments were conducted at 10 field sites, and results from a further 8 experiments were looked at. Of these 18 experiments, 10 showed a yield response to sulphur fertiliser of between 0.1 and 4.4 tonnes per hectare. The economic optimum sulphur rates vary between 30 kg and 79 kg of SO3 per hectare. Critically, no evidence was found by the researchers to suggest that modern higher yielding varieties required significantly more fertiliser. However, as some crops were found to respond to a slightly higher sulphur rate than in the current recommendations, it was suggested the upper end of the range be extended slightly, from 75 kg to 80 kg sulphur per hectare. All of the sites that showed a yield response had light or medium textured soils. In fact, soil texture information combined with winter rainfall values were found to be the most reliable way to predict the risk of sulphur deficiency, providing more accurate results than either soil analysis or tissue testing. The work also found that crops are able to use sulphur from organic sources more efficiently than previously thought. This winter, RB29 will be revised to include the latest figures on sulphur rates and sulphur supply from organic materials. The revision will also see general improvements to sulphur management guidance, including the use of the sulphur risk matrix to determine where sulphur applications are likely to bring the best returns. The update will also see several other improvements to RB29, including better information on the use of excess winter rainfall to improve estimates of soil nitrogen supply, details of the agricultural lime quality standard and the biosolids assurance scheme, and adjustments to data on extra nitrogen applications and grain protein content. Full detail of the revisions can be accessed via ahdb.org.uk/RB209.
That's all for this episode. You can find more details about the work we've covered in the episode notes below, or on the website, cereals.ahdb.org.uk. Thanks for listening.